Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's charitable foundation is called Sharing Change and funded by members who round up their electric bills to the nearest dollar each month and support hundreds of nonprofits. Discover more at sharingchange.org. Well, we're going to talk today about Kamari House, and Emily McKee joins us, the executive director. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to have you here today. Kamari House. Tell me, what's your elevator speech about Kamari House?
Kamari House, we do family resilience services. We're best known for our supervised visitation service. We are the only nonprofit sliding scale provider of that service in Middle Tennessee. We also now provide a wraparound case management program for opioid-impacted families in Rutherford County as well, and we have expanded additionally to be able to also offer HOPE trainings, which are trauma-informed trainings for other people who work with children and families who have been through tough things.
So tell me a little bit about opioid-impacted families. What does that look like? What is that?
Well, we were trying to figure out what the needs are of the community, and we recognized that there were programs for families with children certain ages, and then there were families with children in school age, and there was a little bit of a gap.
Oh, okay.
Of just sort of where if you didn't fit here or here or here, then you didn't really fit anywhere. And so we partnered with Thriving Together Tennessee to create the Family Forward program. So what we're doing there is we're working with families, really any family who is willing to work with us and use our case management service. If they've got children 4 to 14 and they have any kind of opioid impact, meaning one of their family members has been either incarcerated or through substance use programs, it's often moms and dads who have been there and they're working their way back out to try to reintegrate with their family. And so we can help them find resources, find jobs that will hire them, help them secure funding to be able to move into their new apartment or make sure they keep their lights on so that they don't risk having something like that happen that would upend their family structure.
Oh, well, very good to have that as part of the services from Kamari House. And, you know, you've got, I guess, supervised visitation is maybe what you're most known for. Would that be fair?
Yes, that is what we've done since 2012. So we opened in 2012 after another local organization who had historically done supervised visitation and Safe Exchange stopped carrying the program. Our founders were contacted and told this can't stand. We can't not have this service for these families who need it so much. And so they stepped in and created Kamari House. And yeah, we've been operating since 2012 as the only place that does this that is not specifically for children in DCS custody, and also that does this on a sliding scale. So a lot of there are other supervised visitation providers in the area, but their pricing is not really something that most people can afford, especially the families that we're working with. They're not going to be able to throw out $800 to have an intake and $300 an hour to be able to see their child in a safe and stable environment. So we actually write grants to be able to supplement that, so none of our families pay more than $25 to $85 an hour for this service that costs an average of $2 to $250 an hour, not $1,000.
Well, that's awesome, and I would think that some of the supervised visitation or handoffs, that kind of thing, are many of those court ordered?
Yes, most of the families that we see are court ordered. A lot of the times, either they were never married, and so when you're not married, if you break up and there's a child involved, there's no parenting plan necessarily because you're not going through the courts for that.
Right.
And so those families then have to reach out and go through this service and request it sometimes. And then we've also got, a lot of the times it is divorces, there may be allegations, there's sometimes domestic violence involved, substance use disorder, and other things that are just really just parents who have made poor decisions. And a lot of the times we are kind of their last option. So a lot of the families we see, they've tried doing this in the park with your cousin, you know, who watches you and your kid play.
Yeah.
They've tried that. They've tried doing this in the mall with somebody that is not the other party, but somebody who's related, and either it hasn't worked out or something has just not gone well. And so we are kind of their last option sometimes to be able to see their children that desperately want to see their parents, but don't necessarily understand why they can't. So we get to be in there and help them work with their child and rebuild their bond so that they can have a relationship, because we know that the most important relationship that we have in our lives is the one with our parents. It's our first one. It's the biggest one. And if you're not, the health implications over the course of your life from parental separation and other adverse childhood experiences can be quite large. And so what we do is we work to get in there and make sure that they have that connection, they have that opportunity to bond, and we hope that they're not, our goal is not for them to be with us forever. Our goal is for them to come and be with us, get kind of coached through, you know, what is it that we're doing? If you've never had a baby before, we see that sometimes. So we're in there as, quote, flies on the wall for supervised visitation, but all of our staff are skilled, mostly social workers and other behavioral health specialists. And so we're in there helping them figure out how to change your first diaper, or how do you cut grapes the right way? Things that you just, they don't teach you. There's no baby class.
There's no
classes on what to do when you've, you know, not seen your kiddo in 3 years. And what do I do with a 7-year-old? So we're there to help them troubleshoot that and sort of work on repairing some of the rupture that's happened.
Yeah. And with the kids being so many different ages, I mean, there's no book, because every 7-year-old is different.
Right.
You know?
Yes. And we see families with children from as little as like 6 months to aging out at 18. We've even had children who visited their parent with us for the majority of their adolescence and asked to continue to stay after graduating high school to see their parents, so that, because they, it's such a safe and comforting place for them. They've just gotten, they're at home with us, which we love, and that's our goal. But we have had families even that visit after the child turns 18, just because it's like, this is what we've always done and this is what we know. So we also work with them as they're kind of aging out to figure out, what does this look like?
Mm-hmm.
You're a whole adult now,
right?
You know, yeah. And you've been in our place where we're making slime, we're making friendship bracelets, we're having cookies, we're playing all day long, but you still have got to figure out, what is this going to look like for you when you get out of here, and when you age out, or when your family member no longer is required to be here.
We are talking today about Kamari House. Emily McKee is here and the executive director, and your website, kamarihouse.org, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's KYMARI. So just in case you wonder how to spell that. Do you have an actual facility where you do all of this?
We do. We are actually right down the street. We're just off of the square on Spring Street. And so we are also the only organization in the area that has a static safe house. So our whole house is built for parent-child interaction. We've got an art room that has, it's got slime, it's got beads, we've got, you can crochet, we can do just about anything. I will get you a loom. Let's figure it out, right? We've got a fully functioning kitchen where we offer to have the parents, if there's something, like if your child is 8, 9, 10 years old and it's their birthday month and they have a favorite thing that you guys always make together, bring all of those items and you guys can be in the kitchen and you can cook together. These are things you don't get to do that we don't think about when you live with your children. They don't get to have birthday parties because they're only allowed to see their children with us. So we have birthday buddies. And when we know somebody's birthday is coming up, we go and we get them a cake and we make sure that we have candles on hand. We will blow up balloons. I'm a big fan of balloon arches. And that way we give them those opportunities to have those little windows of normalcy in this really not normal situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you have to think, adults are adults, and we can, you know, troubleshoot through situations, whatever they might be. But when you're asking a child to do that, it's just really impossible, I would think, right?
It is. There's a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
It's on paper, and if you were to just sort of like sit back and watch and not really understand what's going on, it sounds like our monitors are just sort of hanging out with families. But the feelings in that room, there's so many of them. There's feelings by those children of abandonment. They really don't, I don't know how to talk to mom right now because I haven't talked to her. I'm still mad at her because I haven't seen her in 2 years.
Yeah.
The parents are really excited to see their child, but also paying really close attention because we have all kinds of rules to make sure the children are physically, psychologically, and emotionally safe. So we're not, you know, bringing up stuff that happened in the past, and the parent is constantly trying to remember that in their back of their mind. Don't do that because I don't want to break a rule. So there are a lot more moving parts than it kind of looks like, and our monitors are specialized in recognizing if the child is comfortable, if anything were to happen that maybe triggered them and they don't speak up. We are always watching to make sure, number one, that the child is safe and comfortable, and two, that they are interacting in a way that's positive with their parent.
Yeah, such a wonderful service, and the fact that what you offer is on a sliding scale, and if it's, you know, no more than $85 an hour, but the cost is really over $200, then how do you make up the rest of that?
I grant write my fingers off.
I bet.
So it is one of my main jobs is to figure out how do we fund this. I know that the work that we do is really important. The work that my monitors do is extremely important. And without this service, there are so many families who just wouldn't have the opportunity. So we write grants to family foundations, to state organizations, and to other funders, just to try to figure out, like, to help them recognize that we know this is the most important relationship you have in your life. And we know that if we can get in here early enough, we can help repair some of the damage that's been done by the separation before they've even gotten to the point of being older and our brains stop being as spongy.
Yeah.
So
do you have a board that helps with any of this?
We do. We have a board of directors. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit. And we have a board of directors who, they're my bosses. And so I serve under them, and they sort of help us guide sort of where we're going and what it is that we're looking for. And they act as consultants, especially when something pops up and I just sometimes I'm not super sure what to do. I am still relatively new. I no longer can say I am new because I've been here for a year and like 2 months. But this is still a kind of a new realm for me as being the executive director and the one who being the boss lady. I've not done that before. So there are a lot of times that I do have to lean on them and say, hey, this is happening. I know what like my nonprofit experience teaches me. I know what my training teaches me, but I need you to look this over and make sure that we're all understanding the same thing. And so they are really have been super supportive and fantastic cheerleaders since I started.
And with that, you can write lots of grants, but also I would think in your position, you have to come up with some creative, maybe fundraising events, and you have one coming up.
We do. So grants don't cover everything. And some of the grants that do, we adore them. They're, you know, our favorites. Course. Don't tell the rest of them. But yes, we have our first fundraiser of the year. It is Smoke and Barrel. It's coming up on February 20th. We'll be at Copper Ridge. From 6 to 9, we have currently 5 bourbons that are secured, and I have 5 others that are maybes, and then 5 or 6 others that are give me a call back tomorrow's. So we're shooting for 10, and I'm starting to think it might be 15, which I will not be offended by.
Yeah.
If everybody shows up, right? So we will be spending the evening at Copper Ridge. We have a whole dinner. They call it a grazing table, but it's a whole dinner. We've got snacks and sweets that are going to be provided by Simply Southern Sweets. We have live music by Joey Winslet, and we will also have a live auction and a wine pull. And every bit of those proceeds go to help support the programs that we provide. And they basically go in to fill the gaps where grants are often really specific of what they'll pay for. And they may pay for like me to buy a bunch of slime for us to play with kids with, but they might not pay for electric bills. And so that's where things like these fundraisers come in, because yeah. We are often, as nonprofits, operating just on hopes and prayers that these things will sort of come through and that we can find some extra money to cover those things. And we also, the program, the services that we provide are far above and beyond what they are necessary to be on paper. So fundraisers like this also allow us to have a little bit of extra breathing room so that we can do things that are beyond the scope of what we say we do. Like, sure. If we need to spend an extra hour or two with somebody, then we're able to do that because of unrestricted funding that's raised by these fundraisers.
And there are honestly even some grants that say we will pay for this, but you have, you know, it's going to be after that service is provided, you know, sometimes.
Oh, the reimbursement.
Yeah, the reimbursements.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fundraisers also help us fill that gap because, yeah, when you've got a grant that's like, it's really exciting to be awarded a grant, but then you look at it and it's like, oh, here's $50,000, but you have to spend it first. Where does it come from? Like, exactly. I'm like, which pocket do I pull this out of? And so that is also, fundraisers give us that little bit of margin so that we can use those grants, that we have that money up front to be able to request it after we do the service.
Well, the event is on February 20th, 6 until 9 p.m., and that's at Copper Ridge. And can you get tickets on your website?
Yes, you can. If you follow us on any of the socials, we're on everything at Kamari House. And then we also on our website, www.kamarihouse.org, it is the header. So as soon as you pull up our website, it's like, don't you want to come to this event? It's going to be so fun. So yeah, just go on there and you can click it. We have VIP tickets for $75 each. They each are going to get a little goodie bag with some of the things that I brought by this morning. And then we have regular general admission tickets are $50.
Okay, very good. And I'll put I'll link to that on our podcast here when we get finished. So
that
way we can let folks know. Well, it's great talking to you today. And I didn't realize we were neighbors. For some reason, I thought you were on the north side of town. So it's good to know. And anytime we can help spread the word about Kamari House, be sure to let us know.
Great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Joining us today, Emily McKee, the executive director of Kamari House, kamarihouse.org. That's K-Y-M-A-R-I, house, course, house.org. And again, we'll put links on the podcast section, which will be up shortly at wgnsradio.com. Just look under the podcast tab and Rutherford Issues. Well, thanks so much for joining us here this morning on News Radio WGNS, and we will see you back here next time.